Phoenix Suns brass holding a press conference on Wednesday saying all is well despite a 49-win season, a 6-seed, and a sweep at the hands of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is it all well? Here to talk about that and more from Sirius XM NBA Radio, Justin Termini is our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. Justin, good to have you back on the show. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
From your viewpoint, is all well with the Phoenix Suns? What was your reaction to what Matt Ishbia and James Jones had to say on Wednesday?
Well, I love the passion there from Ishbia. So you want that type of owner that actually cares about winning and losing, and he's going to spend the money. So I think, like, he had that comment about 26 other GMs would probably trade places with where the Suns sit right now. I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe like 26 other teams would trade their ownership, because you do want a guy that does want to win and spend the money. So he's proven that aspect of it. But in regards to like trading the roster and the situation, maybe there's five or six teams that would do that, because I think there's a lot of trouble based off the salary cap, where you sit there, the draft picks, where you are with the second apron, the contract that you have there with Bradley Beal, which might be the worst in the sport. So I think the team, as far as the future is concerned, it's not looking bright.
Yeah, listen, and I would agree with you. The idea of 26 teams, I think you could probably name 10 off the top of your head that wouldn't want any part of that, particularly given their financial situation. When you take a look at what the Suns could add, what is a path out if the big three do all want to come back? Is there a path for this basketball team?
Well, I mean, like, I was there on media day and talking to everybody, and the question that I asked everybody months ago was, don't you need a point guard? Like, do you need somebody to set these guys up in tight spots down the stretch, which you had in Chris Paul? Now, you're not going to be able to go out there and get somebody like that for big-time money. It's going to have to be like a minimum contract, right? So is a guy like Chris Paul maybe willing to do that with his situation up there in Golden State? I mean, Kyle Lowry, we saw him play a decent role, I think, for Philadelphia over the last couple of weeks, but maybe that's as high as you could go if those guys are willing to play on minimum money. Yeah. And I'm not saying it specifically has to be one of those two guys, but I do think that you need a veteran playmaker in there, and it's obviously got to be some guy that doesn't make big money. But is a guy like that taking you from no wins in the postseason, not one single win, to winning an NBA championship? The answer to that is no.
We're talking to Justin Termini, Sirius XM NBA radio host. I'm going to throw the Suns into a mix with three other teams, two of which are already eliminated, but star-laden teams who have fallen short. Suns, Bucks, Lakers, and I think the Clippers are going to join that group probably tonight, Justin. Of those teams, how would you rank their chances to get back to the mountaintop as currently constructed, or maybe the most likely candidate to blow things up?
Yeah, I mean, I think all three of those teams problematic with Milwaukee. Like, they're really old, right, outside of Giannis. And, like, with the Lakers, with Anthony Davis, I guess, is on the younger side, although he's injury-prone. I mean, the piece that you have is Devin Booker, right? Like, that's the movable piece where you get a ton back. I'm sure that they don't want to move him. The only way they probably do move him is if he demands to be traded. But that's the only thing you get back, like an asset in return. So I think the salary cap situation for some of these other organizations probably a little bit better as well. The draft picks are there for some of these other organizations, like the Lakers are going to have, I think, two or three picks come draft night to be able to deal that holds a little bit more weight than the 22nd overall pick in this year's draft, which is what the Suns can deal along with the 2031 pick. And this year's draft is weak. So I think like the assets that maybe some of these other teams have are a little bit better than what Phoenix has. And like I said, none of those other rosters have the contract of Bradley Beal, which I think is maybe the worst in the sport.
Yeah, and I think you're right by stressing zero playoff victories, getting swept in the first round. That's a powerful statement. It's a damning indictment of an offense that was supposed to be unguardable at one point. During that playoff series against Minnesota, they averaged 106.8 points per 100 possessions, which is exactly what the last place Grizzlies did during the regular season. What is going wrong with this offense? Is it a matter of not shooting enough threes, relying on the mid-range? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a good point as well, because we talked to Frank Vogel, I think, on media day, and I said two things. Like, I said the foul shooting, because you guys didn't get to the line the year before. Phoenix didn't get to the line the year before. I said, does that need to improve? And also, you got a bunch of great mid-range shooters, but you don't shoot threes. Now, I think you're rectified getting to the line this year. You guys did that plenty, meaning the Suns. They didn't shoot enough threes, in my estimation. And it's almost like I got in the Celtics case this year for taking too many threes. I thought they relied on it too much. to if they go cold. I think they're susceptible to losing a game or a series in the postseason. It's the opposite with the Suns. Like, you got guys that can shoot the three all over the place. Beal's a high-level shooter. Grayson Allen, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. But they don't shoot enough threes, so they need to do that more. That's a key to it. But also, like, I bring this up on the show all the time. When's the last time Kevin Durant was the best player on the floor in a postseason game, or even more so a series? I think you're going to go back to 2021, because he got outplayed in four straight games by Tatum in 2022 when the Nets got swept. Mm-hmm. Last year, if you recall, his first year in Phoenix, the best player on the floor in those games was either Kawhi before he got hurt, Devin Booker, or Jokic, maybe even Jamal Murray in there. And then this year, he got outplayed in every single game by Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels, etc. So it's been a while. Like, he's still really good, but it's been a while since he's played like a top five player in a postseason setting.
Justin Termini, Sirius XM NBA radio host. He hosts NBA Today with Eddie Johnson. You can hear him on Sirius XM. He joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Branching out to the rest of the league, I'm very intrigued. I kind of went into the postseason thinking, it's Denver's to lose in the West, and that still might be the case, but the way Minnesota played against the Suns, I'm real curious to find out if that was more Minnesota or more Phoenix, but I think this is shaping up to be a great series. What are your thoughts on that?
So do I, because I think last year they probably played in the toughest, even though the Suns got them twice. I think the matchup that was the most difficult for Denver was Minnesota. All those games were close. They have the size to kind of combat Jokic, and also they've got the perimeter defense, which you guys saw in a guy like Jaden McDaniels. And Rudy Gobert, like, the criticism against him in Utah, well, you play him off the floor in a postseason setting. That was not the case here in round one, nope. And the reason it wasn't because he actually has other defenders surrounding him at a high level, whereas in Utah he didn't, and he was so dominant in that series against Phoenix. I think he easily make the argument he was better than any Sun in that series. He's really their key to the defense, and now you've got him going up against Jokic, you've got Karl Anthony Towns, you've got Naz Reid, so they can kind of go at him in waves, whereas like even the Lakers last round against Denver couldn't. Anthony Davis had to mirror the minutes there of Jokic. That doesn't have to happen this time around.
All right, your thoughts on this Clippers-Nuggets game. What might this mean if the Clippers fail again? I would imagine being a Clippers fan must be exhausting, never having Kawhi in these big moments, and it's not his fault, obviously. Your thoughts on the repercussions, the implications of what might be going down here?
Yeah, well, it is his fault if he's going to play in the Olympics. Like, he shouldn't be playing in the Olympics this summer when he can never stay healthy for his own team. That, to me, is a head-scratcher. I think the Clippers gave him maybe a contract extension a little too soon. I don't think that Paul George is as good as Kawhi, but he's more reliable than Kawhi Leonard, so if I had to spend the money somewhere, I would have given it to Paul George instead of Kawhi. But yeah, it's been an utter disaster, and the thing that's funny is the team that, they traded to get Paul George, they dealt Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at what turned out to be Jalen Williams. Those two guys were the best player on the floor for Oklahoma City as they swept through the first round. Meanwhile, the Clippers might not get to the second round. They're moving into this new building. You're going to throw all this money at James Harden when, again, we saw what he typically does in the postseason last time out, 7 points on 2-12 shooting. I thought they were a legitimate threat. I thought they were the third best team in the NBA behind Denver and Boston probably in mid-January, but that's no longer the case.
Before we let you go, Justin, real quick, what do you think the NBA does with the latest fun that Patrick Beverley gave them last night?
I don't know what they do, but he should be suspended for maybe half the season. And I'm not talking about the thing with the reporter. That he should be fined significantly for. But throwing the basketball at a fan, like, that could have kicked off a massive brawl, one. Then he's throwing it at a female fan, and he's doing it with a little zip. We get these players like Russell Westbrook complaining because somebody says Russell Westbrook. That's not assault. That's not using a weapon. But basically, Patrick Beverley used a weapon. He could have given somebody a concussion, could have resulted in a lawsuit. So if fans aren't allowed to call Russell Westbrook Russell Westbrook without getting like kicked out of the arena and banned for good, then there's no way that Patrick Beverley shouldn't be suspended 20, 30, 40 games, because you can't have somebody maliciously throwing a ball at somebody's head and doing it twice. He did it twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Never mind what he did with the reporter.
Yeah, well, Justin, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining the show today. We really appreciate it.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.